Welcome to St. Paul's. My name is Sally Waller and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator here. We would like to honor all women this morning, especially moms and grandmothers. Happy Mother's Day. We thank you very much for inviting us into your living room. You have a lot of choices for what you're watching right now. All of our services are available on demand on our website too. We also have a contemporary service called Bridge, so you can check that out as well. Today you're going to see a traditional Lutheran worship service, which is about 50 minutes long. If you'd like to fast forward right to the pastor talking, that would be absolutely fine with us. So we have a couple highlights that I'd like to talk to you about this week. We have helping our community by offering a food drive this coming Sunday, May 17th, from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock right on campus here. And all of the proceeds are going to go to the Muskego Food Pantry. Another thing that we do for our community is we offer excellent Christian education on campus here. And I'd like to introduce you to my good friend and teammate, Principal Seth Fitzsimmons, and he's going to tell you more about that.
Thanks, Sally. Welcome, everybody, to St. Paul's. In addition to Mother's Day today, happy Mother's Day, moms. Last week was also Teacher Appreciation Week, where we really get to celebrate teachers and educators and all the hard work that they're doing. And inside these unprecedented times, teachers are working extra hard to support the learning at home. And so to our teachers here at our awesome St. Paul's Lutheran School, we say thank you. To all educators and teachers in our congregation and in your family, we say thank you. If you are interested in more information about 3K, 4K, our child care center, or our kindergarten through eighth grade, get in touch with me. My information is on our website. Our school is not possible without the great support of our congregation. So if you're a congregation member watching today, on behalf of all of our teachers, I say thank you so much for your support and for your prayers. And finally, in these unprecedented times, parents, you are really working hard. We all know that, and we thank you for it. Your homes have become schools, and we pray God's blessing over you these final weeks of school before summer really sets in. But we thank you, parents, and again, moms, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much, brother. I'm Pete Binchcam, one of the pastors here at St. Paul's. I'll be sharing the message with you. And what Seth said just really fits in well with our message for today. We're continuing our message series, If Then. If Jesus is risen, then. And today we're just dealing with that whole idea that everything that we do has great purpose and meaning if Jesus has risen from the dead. And I think that's especially important as you're struggling with all the extra duties that come with this COVID-19 safer at home thing. So again, we want to honor you as parents. Just a reminder to you that we are here to help you. So if you have a prayer request or just need to talk to us as pastors, you know, our contact information is on the screen. We are here for you. Please let us know. We want to serve you. And now we'd like to begin our worship service today with a short video that just honors you moms and grandmas and great grandmas out there on a very different Mother's Day.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have stepped into the throne room of God today to confess our sins to him and to hear his forgiveness. And as we do that, let us ponder first the words of the prophet Isaiah, where the Lord says this to us. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you.
With these words, God expresses his faithfulness and his steadfast love for us.
God calls us to love as he has loved us.
Whoever does not love, John says, does not know God, because God is love.
These words cause us to examine our own hearts and lives and approach God in honesty. We do so confessing our sins together. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us praise the name of our God using the words of hymn 528, Christ is our cornerstone.
Christ is our cornerstone.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through your powerful word, you form and shape what we think and believe.
Teach us to love what you command and to desire what you promise.
So that, as we toil through the changes and challenges of life,
our hearts may continually yearn for that day when you bring us to our real home in heaven.
We pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If Jesus has risen then everything that I do has purpose. In our first lesson for today, taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, we find the gospel, the good news of Jesus risen from the dead, making a huge difference still in the life of the Apostle Paul as he was taking the gospel to the world of his day. And as that gospel was talking to the people in Thessalonica and in Berea, and giving new believers eternal purpose while leaving some people, unbelievers, fighting against the gospel of Jesus. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. Hopefully you have your Bibles open at home or your phone apps up and running. Let's dive into Acts 17, 1 through 12. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world, and they have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. This is the first word of our God. Our second lesson for today is the gospel reading. You will find that either again on your Bibles at home or on your Bible apps, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, where Jesus talks to us about him being the way, the truth, and the life, which says a lot to us as believers that if we believe in him as our Savior from sin, the way, the truth, and the life, we have every spiritual blessing that gives us purpose every day in all that we do. John 14, verses 1 through 12. Jesus to his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him,
"Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." This is the gospel of our God. Let us continue our worship for the day with hymn 529, Built on the Rock.
Calling the young. grace and peace be yours in abundance. The word of God for our study today is recorded in St. Peter's first letter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, where Peter wrote, "As you come to him, to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to fall, stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, I miss not having you here in front of me in the sanctuary, but one of the advantages of doing this online worship is that you can follow along with me and go and see places that you couldn't if you were sitting here in the pew. So I'd like to begin by just moving over here to the stone, because the text says that Jesus is the living stone, chosen by God and precious to him. You see, when I think about that, I think about the marble here at the front of the church. It was chosen for this purpose. It is precious. It cost a lot. It is perfect. You put your hand on it and it's just as smooth as could be. It was chosen for this very purpose. And it reminds me of our Savior, that he is the chosen, precious cornerstone, the one that God the Father had chosen before the creation of the world to be your Savior and mine. Now, the Apostle Peter does say that some people reject him. And Peter quotes a couple of passages from the Old Testament about how the builders have rejected the cornerstone and they stumble over him. Now, there's a little phrase there that might trouble you. It says, "and that is what they were destined for." Now, to understand that, I just brought a wine glass from home. Now, do you suppose that the person who made this wine glass, before the wine glass was made, decided in advance, this wine glass is going to be broken on a marble floor? I don't think so. I think the person who made this wine glass was hoping that people would enjoy wine in it. But if I drop this wine glass, do you think it's going to shatter on this marble stone? Of course. You foretold what would happen if I misuse this wine glass. In the same way, God didn't choose in advance for anyone to be destroyed. But he does foretell that for those people who reject this precious chosen cornerstone that he has chosen, their rejection will cause them to be destroyed. They're destined, not predestined, but destined for destruction. But the Apostle Peter is just explaining to us why is it that not everybody loves and appreciates this precious cornerstone. For us, he has something better in mind. And so here I'd like to take you back behind the altar, because this is one of the most significant parts of our sanctuary, that these stones were chosen. They were selected out of the field stone in our members' fields, and they were placed into this church. So the Apostle Peter says that we have been built into a spiritual house. Jesus is the cornerstone, and then he built living stones on that cornerstone. And as I think about it, the first layer would be the apostles, and the second layer would be the early church fathers, and so on. And we're probably somewhere way up there. And each one of these stones, Peter calls them living stones, because you and I get life from Jesus, the living stone. And each one of these stones is different. They are not perfect stones. What a beautiful picture for us. But they were chosen. Chosen by God's grace. Remember, the Apostle Peter began this letter. Take a look at the first chapter where he says that we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. That God, before the creation of the world, chose each one of us, imperfect individuals, to be part of his spiritual house. We too are living stones, chosen and precious to God. And just like these stones have a permanent place in this building, so too you and I have a permanent place in God's house. This is where we get to live. Because again, the Apostle Peter in the first chapter said that we are kept by the power of our God. And that's why, since you can't come to church and the church basically isn't being used, I kind of thought that maybe I would just start to camp out here in church. You know, I would just love to just go ahead and sleep here night and day directly under the cross. Because this is where I belong. This is where you belong. Because each one of us is a chosen, precious stone built on Christ, the cornerstone. And then the Apostle Peter says, because we're a part of this house, that we also have a very special role or function, that we are priests. Let me read that section to you again. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. As you come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and I have this special role of being a priest. In the Old Testament, it was only the priest who could come in to the very sanctuary of God and have full access to God. You and I also have that full access to God. We are priests. And we are called to offer sacrifices. Now, what are the sacrifices that we offer?
Well, on this Mother's Day, I just want to celebrate some of the sacrifices that our moms and wives offer up to God. Now, I'd like to use Proverbs 31 to just remind us of some of those marvelous sacrifices. You see, Proverbs chapter 31, the first verse says, these are the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. So we don't know who King Lemuel is, but here mom is saying, son, I want you to understand what a wonderful, God-fearing woman is like. And then in verse 10, she begins, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, and she lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Well, today, during the pandemic, I think you'd probably be looking more for cotton to make some masks. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. So she puts the food on the table day after day. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So, in addition to everything else, she's got work to do. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for tasks, so she isn't afraid to get out the cleaning utensils and make sure the house is clean. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night, so she goes out shopping, right? In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle in her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's willing to be generous to others. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. So her kids have clothes to wear. And just a little bit of plug for my person who is video recording this. This is Mike's t-shirt that he gave me. Everything for good. It says, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes fine garments and sells them and supplies the servants, the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, making sure that diapers are changed and toys are picked up, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Kids have some place to go. She also drives them someplace. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you suppress them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, I just used Proverbs 31 to help us understand what it means to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. We can have this idea that somehow it means stuff that we do for church, but it's everything that we do. All of these things are spiritual sacrifices to our God. But I know that this passage is not a favorite among an awful lot of women. Because they're trapped, as I am so often trapped, in the darkness of comparison. All that we offer to God in our daily lives, we start to make comparisons to other people. And it just doesn't measure up. And that's why I want you to memorize this next week, this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Why did I lay all of these things out on the altar? Because these are our offerings to God just as much as the offerings we put on the altar on a Sunday morning. But the primary reason why I wanted to be here is because we're underneath the cross. All our offerings, they're not acceptable because they measure up compared to somebody else. They're acceptable to God because God looks at them through Jesus Christ, through his cross. Nothing we do is perfect. Every one of us gets frustrated. Every one of us fails. Every one of us sins with discontentment and anger or despair. But our gifts are not acceptable to God because we did it all right. They're acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If Jesus has risen from the grave, if that is true, you and I belong here as a part of God's house. If it is true that Jesus is risen from the dead, as the Apostle Peter testified with his life, if it is true that Jesus has risen from the dead, then as we seek out of love for our Savior to serve him in our everyday lives, our offerings are acceptable to our God and Father. He looks at them and he smiles at them. Your work is never in vain. It is never without purpose. Everything you do becomes infinitely valuable because it is an offering that you lay out before your God that's acceptable to him through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter ends this text by reminding us who we are. Why don't you read this verse with me if you have your Bibles open? It's chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, and especially on this Mother's Day, just celebrating the fact that our God loves you moms for all the sacrifices that you give. Brothers and sisters, remember that you've been called out of the darkness of comparison. Who of us doesn't live with that? But we've been called out of it. We can look at our offerings in a completely different way. And because of that, you and I have a story to tell. Because we're not the only ones who are trapped in that darkness of comparison. You have been brought into the glorious light of knowing that all that you do as you seek to serve the Savior is acceptable to him because your Father looks at your offerings through Christ. I pray that God gives us insight into the lives of the people around us, that we see where they're trapped just like us, in that darkness of comparison, and that he give us an opportunity to share the light of God's grace. God bless you. Amen. I would invite you to join with me and confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Friends at home, if you were here with us today in this space, in this worship space, in the presence of God, at this point in time, we would continue the worship of our Savior and King through our offering. Since you are not here, there's a way for you to give online at stpaulsmuskego.org. You'll find there out the address of St. Paul's to actually put your offering envelope in an old-fashioned envelope and mail it to St. Paul's or a check as an offering to God. Or you can find there ways to give online, a one-time offering, recurring offerings, either through texting to give or giving right through the website. So think about that and pray about that as we support the ministry of the gospel of Jesus here at St. Paul's Muskego, sharing him with our community and his work. Let us pray. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Lord God, you hold up a mother's love and care as a model of your own. Today we rejoice in the love that we have experienced from our mothers and others who have loved us as their own. As they comforted us when we were afraid, we ask that you, Lord, would comfort us now. Comfort us as we face the possibility of sickness and death in this pandemic. Allow us to see clearly that Jesus is the true way to eternal life. Comfort us as we face the prospect of financial need and economic uncertainty. As our mothers prepared food for us, grant us confidence that you will prepare the daily bread that we need. Comfort us as we struggle with loss, the loss of loved ones, the loss of once-in-a-lifetime experiences like confirmation services and graduation, the loss of personal contact with those we love. Give us contentment in this loss by filling us with the fullness of your love in Christ Jesus. As you have comforted us, use us, Lord, to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. Give us eyes to see pain and fear in the eyes of those around us. Give us words to speak. Give us wisdom to act in love. Lord, we pray for national leaders all over the globe who are struggling to determine the next step to open up their nation. We pray for our president, our governor, and local leaders that you would lead them to decisions that protect life, yet also protect our livelihood. Lord, we pray for your church, that you would give congregations the courage to seize every opportunity that you provide to declare your praises. For we are your chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your special possession. And now, Lord, hear us as we bring you our private petition. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and in his name we join in praying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now let us continue praising our God with praise to the Lord the Almighty. God and blessing in his name. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received the promise of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, be at peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.